Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
I'm Moshe Kasher.
I'm Natasha.
She's back, you guys. I have my wife back. And we made love every hour on the hour since she's been home.
I actually had this really beautiful, restful solo vacation. And I got home and just immediately got into a bad mood.
We are approaching divorce.
No, but I was like,
I got you in a bad mood. I was so excited to see you.
No, you didn't get me in a bad mood. I just like, it felt like I was back to reality.
Your family.
No.
Ouch. Zing.
No, not my family. Just like, I don't know.
The world. Tosh, I got an idea.
Also, like when I'm away from our child, I don't feel as guilty about like her not being with like other kids and you know what I mean?
Out of sight, out of mind. Tosh, I got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's get in the RV and go on an extended stay America trip around America, staying at various extended stays America.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Okay, so that's a no?
No, I'll do it.
Let's go to Hawaii. Let's get, okay, we'll give our child sodium pentothal, make her sleep for 8 hours, put her in a chamber. You and I will get one of those like hazmat suits, but we'll have a hose going from your breathing tube to my breathing tube so we can breathe each other's air. And we will wrap ourselves up in like a plastic quarantine zip tent, mm-hmm. and we will fly to Hawaii. Okay, I got a third idea. Let's get in the RV and drive to Sayulita, Mexico. It's a mere 20
hours. Moshe has been trying to pitch us driving to Mexico for the past 2 weeks.
Through Sinaloa.
It never sounds like a good idea.
Through
I'm not
the footlands
he's
of
like,
Sinaloa.
It's only 26 hours.
I think it would be
we
fun.
We have like a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Your RV has broken down before. It's COVID. Would you want to get a... First of all, we would... Imagine the RV breaking down in Mexico. There's COVID. We don't speak Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound fun.
I hear you. Okay, Tosh.
With a 2-year-old.
I got an idea.
It actually sounds very dangerous.
Okay, I got an idea.
So, no, I'm not doing it. I'll go to a park or whatever you were
Let's go to a park. You and me, park.
I'll do that.
All right, Tosh. You seem like you're in the right headspace to get this party
I'm
started.
I'm actually excited because we have a guest.
We have a great guest.
I can take the focus off of myself. And also, she's so cool. I've always looked up to her.
The
and
legend.
Also, wait, hold on. Let me just say, I also am like really excited to just like hear her take on what's happening and how she's feeling.
The legend. Can I say it now?
Yeah.
The legend. Legendary Bay Area-based stand-up comedian. I mean, she's done it all. She truly is. She's a heavyweight. She's truly a legend in this game. Let's get in touch with the one and only Margaret Cho.
Hello and welcome. Or hi, my name's Cole.
My name's Andrew. We host a podcast called Podcast But Outside.
Cole Hirsch. We should say our full name.
Not necessary. We host a podcast called Podcast But Outside where Cole and I set up a table on the sidewalk and talk to strangers who are walking by.
We have a sign on our table that says, hi, be a guest on our podcast and we will pay you
$1. We are the only ethical podcast. We're the only podcast that pays. We have really interesting conversations with really fun folks.
Like who?
Like this guy.
My sister lives in Denver.
Oh, that was the whole thing?
Yeah.
You said really interesting conversation.
Denver's a totally different city. That's interesting.
If you don't live there, I guess.
Do you have a better one?
Better what? Example?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, actually.
Play it.
Okay.
Do you want to be like Joe Biden them? Have sex with animals?
Jesus Christ.
What?
That is not a good example of our show.
Why? Everyone's talking about Joe Biden.
Not like that. Why don't we play one that we know people will like?
Oh, like
Marilyn?
Okay.
And I was somebody else's wife for a while.
But the second one worked out.
Well, until he died.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
It turned out he had a double life.
Wow.
What was the second life?
He was a crack addict.
What? Wait, how do you hide that? Hold on. How do you hide?
I don't know. He was a nice old Jewish guy.
How did he get addicted to crack?
He started smoking it.
I know, but I'm just trying to, I know. That was a good clip.
Hey, thank you. So please subscribe to Podcast But Outside on YouTube and podcast apps.
And then have a good
time.
Hey.
Hi, Margaret.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you look so cute.
Hello, Margaret.
Cool house.
I know you live in like a gothic chamber.
No, she just has crown molding.
Oh, look at her chihuahua. Who's
Margaret,
that?
You have like the cutest dog. I have three cute dogs, but yours is so much cuter.
This is Lucia Caterina.
I mean, this is Blanche right here. Oh, she's a little bit of a plain Jane. This is Pablo. He's got emotional problems. He's from the Mission in San Francisco. Oh. And then we have Mayor Cutie.
And then here's Cutie.
She's got an IMDb page.
Oh, so cute. They're so beautiful.
Does Lucita, is that how you say it? Is that her name?
Lucia.
Lucia, does she have an IMDb page?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't like her to do any show business. She doesn't like Instagram and or any kind of social media. She's really against it.
On what grounds?
Cool.
What are her ethics around social media?
She's just like, why are you always looking at your phone? And then she'll get like right in between me and my iPad and like just put her nose in. She hates the phone. And I got her like one of those like chewy iPads, like a stuffed iPad. But she's never played with it. She hates it. She hates devices. And she just doesn't like anybody not paying attention to her fully.
I would say Pablo checked out of technology when the BlackBerry was phased out. He loved the BlackBerry.
He called it the CrackBerry.
Yeah, the CrackBerry. Yeah. Classic. A true classic.
That's so funny.
Margaret,
we want to know what is your take on everything? what are you thinking? Are you feeling good about things? Like, I feel like I'm just so depressed about comedy and the world in general. I need to deflect to somebody else.
I know, it's so sad. I've been eating a loaf of bread a day because I started baking bread, and I took a focaccia class last night online, and I'm taking a ciabatta class on Monday.
Is it same guy?
Yeah, it's different people, but it's like a collective. Uh-huh. The Slow Rise Pizza Collective. And there are a bunch of different disparate chefs and bakers all over the world. And they all get together and they're trying to raise money for Georgia. And for everything that's happening there. And they're also getting to make bread, but I'm eating so much of it.
For what? To just support the Coca-Cola company in Atlanta? Or?
To support.
What's the secret to a good ciabatta?
Yeah, great question.
I think diastatic malt.
I was going to say diastatic malt. I was going to say that. Do you guys remember that comedian from the 80s, Andrew Diastatic Clay? Anybody? No? Okay, I'll leave. I'll leave. Margaret, I have a question for you.
Oh, now, yeah. All right.
This might be too personal.
We can also cut this out.
Yeah, we can cut it out if you don't like these kinds
this
of
is not live.
Hard-hitting, personal Barbara Walters-esque questions.
Okay.
But you're kind of like a sex guy, right?
Yes.
Has it been difficult to find mating partners in this quarantine era we're living in?
Well, I have one. I have a quarantine Valentine. And our relationship has really blossomed in the lockdown. And
That's
so it's been great. But we don't live together, which I also think is...
That sounds perfect.
Perfect. So,
see, that's what I'm talking about, Moshe.
Oh, wait, you want me to move out?
No, Margaret, I just went away for like a 5-day vacation because I had to quarantine, but then I decided to try to make it into a vacation. I was away from my family and I was just watching whatever I wanted every night and like following my bliss and listening to music and writing and, you know, just kind of doing my own thing. And I loved it.
And then she got home and she's not happy, Margaret, is I guess the point of what she's trying
to
say.
No, I'm just saying that separate spaces give you that space and then you spend 2 days together, spend 3 days together. It seems very ideal to me. That's all.
It is. But it's hard because we're so used to traveling all the time. So it's very strange to have all of this time uninterrupted at home. I mean, because have you spent this much time at home ever? I have never.
There is something about your DNA gets molded after, I don't know, probably 10 years on the road, your DNA is like permanently altered where you're like not, you hate traveling, but you're very uncomfortable. Every time you're on the road, you're like, all I want to do is get home. And then you get home, you're like, I got to get out of here. Like, why have I been here for so long?
I used to like being in a hotel by myself for 3 days.
I loved it too.
Yeah. And it's, and by the way, I'm not saying that I don't want to live with my family either. I'm just like, I think I'm starting to learn that I just need some space, you know, like,
no,
I just mean as like a, as a creative person, like, I don't understand how you can be creative in a pandemic, like with a family when there's like absolutely no space, you're not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just hard.
It's hard.
I guess I'm asking you for advice.
Margaret, can you come over and help?
Yeah, I can help. I think it's very strange because it's also that time seems to be very fast. It goes by way faster when we're not traveling and experiencing hotels and, you know, like going on the road to be, you know, doing our work and then coming back. And it's just a very, everything seems really truncated. Like it's all sort of one day and next day, and it goes going by.
And there's always excitement, though, and there's always. No,
but she's saying the opposite. When we're home, it becomes this long day.
Right.
This, yeah, like,
there's
mega
a kind
day.
Of weird. It's weird because I can't differentiate when is this April or is this now. Like it's such a weird.
But you can always tell the difference between a spongy focaccia and a crispy ciabatta, right?
Ciabatta. Right? It's the malt.
It's got to be the diet.
But you're right, Moshe. It's just everything's turned into a mega day.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you're right, Margaret, that there's something weird. Like it does feel like yesterday that we were thinking this is going to end in a month.
Right.
And it is not.
Right.
It is not going to end in a month. But hey, we're making the best
and
of it.
And we don't even know what's going to happen in 8 months when, like, you know, we're able to have a vaccine. I mean, who knows what could happen? It's just everything just feels, I just feel like more than ever, no guidance. And I just feel very unsure that, like, I feel very, like, unsure and that anything could happen at any time, which is, like,
right.
a hard right. place to do anything but be in survival, I guess.
Exactly. And it's, like, this thing of, I mean, when I don't do comedy, I really feel like I'm inert. Like I don't have any reason to be alive, which is not the way to be. But comedy really gives me this sort of impetus to like, it shapes my world. And now not even, I mean, I have dates booked, but everything gets moved because everything's like, you know, locked down. And so now everything, I think the next really big shows I have probably won't be till April of next year.
Yeah, I miss stand up. My agent, my manager called me today and was asking me if I wanted to book gigs now with the plan of canceling them when they arrive. It was just like, no, like I feel so guilty canceling dates. This is
but
like the worst
truth is,
me.
If you have to cancel, then the audience might want to cancel too. And I also, know. Can't people just do outdoor gigs?
I don't know. Have you done anything outdoors, Margaret?
I haven't done any outdoors. I'd like to. I think that would be fun. I mean, I think
sound
that
annoying.
It does sound weird though, because you're still like, the spacing is different and you don't hear people as easily. And I've done some Zoom shows and where people, the audience has been unmuted and that's been fun.
I don't think I've ever not bombed outside.
I had a gig early on in comedy at a frat house at UC Berkeley and I stepped on stage and they began to boo before I started my set. I hadn't said anything. There was nothing
to
boo yet.
Was it the Bear's Lair?
No, it was a full-on frat house. It was a bad, I mean, it was a bad situation. I did comedy in the Bear's Lair too, though. That was a little bit better of an experience.
Yeah, but I hate outdoor gigs in general because it's like the sound is weird and it's not my favorite. But I mean, right now, I just want to do something. It's hard.
Do you write stuff other than stand-up? Do you do scripts and or books?
A little
or?
Yeah, a little bit. And it, to me, that's really a challenge. You know, I'm not so motivated to do that, but I have to figure out what I'm going to do outside of, you know, I've done some voiceover things and we've done stuff together, which is fun. So
yes, exactly. I mean, it's just, it is hard. Every time I find it hard to do like other kind of writing, like besides stand up, I just think of like, it is such a fun job. It's just to be able to be able to do this. I'm like, okay, maybe I can like work really hard on something that's, I don't know. I actually am not able to do it. I just kind of want to have fun.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's as a stand-up, you get spoiled because your job is so fun and easy. And it's like, for you, it's easy because you've been doing it for so long. You could phone it in and it would be fun. And if you really force yourself to have an amazing set, it can be like, I don't know, you could surpass yourself or something. You really set your mind to it, there's so much to it besides writing, I think.
Well, also... Yeah.
I mean, obviously writing is like a very important part, but I just think like the feel of it and like being out there and talking to the people and like, I kind of can't get it up unless I'm like in a stressful situation. Mm-hmm. So then when it's like Zoom... You know what I mean? It's like, how can you get excited for that?
Well, how was Zoom for you?
I'm getting used to it. At first, it was really isolating because you couldn't hear anyone. And then later, I got more and more used to it. And then, you know, but it's still not the same. I think with stand-up comedy, we're just so used to it and used to doing it that we know what it feels like. And then there is a kind of addiction to it that I have that's actually physical. So when I stop doing it, I just feel like this weird depression.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Nothing a little bread won't cure. That's what I always say.
True.
Well, I don't know why Margaret's making me feel like she's like my therapist.
No, but this is the most enthusiastic I've heard you talk about stand up in the entire time we've been married. So Margaret, you're doing good, the Lord's work.
Good,
here.
Very good.
Well, because it doesn't sound fun to me to get on a plane or do a Zoom comedy show. So I'm like, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but anyway, I think Margaret has such good advice. Maybe we should call some people.
I think that's a great idea.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mush.
Remember the other day we were talking and you were saying, I really like masturbating to various media, but I really wish there was a new option that I hadn't tried before?
Yeah.
Well, I've got something for you and for our listeners. Speaking of listeners, Dipsy is an audio app full of short, sexy stories and guided sessions that are designed to turn you on and help you get in touch with yourself.
The stories are relatable and immersive, so you feel like you're right there and there's something for everyone, whoever and whatever you're into.
They add new content every week, so there's always more to explore. You can find stories about a spontaneous hookup with a hot stranger, getting closer with that sexy yoga instructor you can't think about.
The wellness sessions can help you unlock new confidence or heighten intimacy with your partner. They add new stories every week, so you never get bored.
So spice things up today with Dipsy. For listeners of this show, Dipsy is offering a free 30-day trial when you go to dipseastories.com/honeymoon.
That's a 30-day free trial when you go to dipseastories.com/honeymoon. dipseastories.com/honeymoon.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
You think I smell good?
Always.
Do you think that the way that I smell is sort of a gift? Well?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're looking for a gift right now for someone in your life, may we recommend Native deodorant? We've been talking about it since this podcast started. I don't just read ads for it. I use it every day and it makes me smell so good. And they've got these special gift packages for the holidays. Little teeny Native deodorant scents. They've got a special candy cane scent. They've got a vanilla chai scent.
And the candy cane actually smells as good as the lavender.
Right. They're perfect stocking stuffers too. They're teeny. I mean, I don't have stockings to stuff because, you know, me, bah humbug and all that, but I think that you should get it.
Native has ingredients you've heard of like coconut oil, shea butter. It's also vegan and never tested on animals.
It's risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the U.S., plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. You can see why so many people love Native. Check out their 14,000 five-star reviews, including one from me. So go to nativedeo.com/honeymoon and use the promo code honeymoon at checkout and you can get 20% off your first order.
Make sure that you order before December 7th to get your products in time for Christmas. That's nativedeo.com/honeymoon or use promo code honeymoon.
All right, here we go. We're going to call Kendall in New York City.
Hi.
Kendall, how are you? It's Moshe Kasher, Natasha Leggero, the host of the Endless Honeymoon podcast, and our friend Margaret Cho. How's it going?
Hi. It's going good. Better now. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you too. How's New York? Is it still a COVID wasteland?
not too bad. It'll probably get worse, I assume, soon.
Cool.
That's you sound like you've been taking the Natasha Leggero life skills class. Kendall, what's going on? How can we help?
Okay, so basically I'm engaged. My fiance and I have been together for 4 years. And we've been open / polyamorous for like a year and a half. That's all great. Our relationship is the healthiest and happiest it's ever been. The issue is that it's a secret from our families, which has been fine just because, I mean, obviously we're not doing anything right now. So it hasn't really been an issue, but we've been talking about like our future more, and we see ourselves being polyamorous like indefinitely and having that just be a part of our lives and even when we have kids and everything. So eventually we don't want it to be a secret for the rest of our lives.
The only thing that's a secret right now is the polyamory part.
Yes.
I see.
With my family, they would probably be fine with it. Like they're chill about most things. But my fiance's family is conservative Catholic Italians. So they would not be. They already are like, even when he'll wear like, my fiance will wear floral pants and they'll lose their minds. So it's
to their credit. I don't know if I would love the floral pants myself, you know, and it's not about Catholicism, but I do have a question. When you say polyamory, do you mean it like truly, like you're going to have like love partners, like long-term love partners, or do you just have a kind of sexually open relationship?
Right now it's been mostly just sexually open. My fiance had a boyfriend for a little bit, but it did not get serious. But eventually we would like to have like love partners.
Which forces the issue of telling somebody, because they'd be like, who's Chad over there and why is he always hanging out on the couch?
I mean, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with not telling your parents what you're into sexually.
That's my thought.
It's like, what if when I met my parent, like I explained to my parents when I introduced you that you like me to like touch your asshole. And
why are we bringing that up?
But I'm just saying, it's like, why? As stupid to like say that you're polyamorous and that you guys all want to fuck other, I don't know. I would rather not like, they'll probably be dead by the time you guys actually find a partner that's going to be like interfering with your lives.
Well, that's what I was going to say too, is there's a difference between keeping a secret and not telling someone something. Like they're not mutually exclusive. They don't have to be shameful secrets in order for you to be like, that's part of my life that I don't really think the Catholics in my life need to know. Margaret, what do you think?
Well, there's different like kinds of things about coming out and the different stages of coming out that I think are important, not for the family necessarily, but for ourselves and our identity as poly and as also queer. You know, for me, I was in a poly marriage for 12 years, and we got divorced not because of the polyamory was actually the most successful part of our relationship. We got divorced because of drugs, which was not the successful part. But so just don't do too many drugs. But that's the only issue. But I think that like there is something to coming out that really sort of solidifies your engagement with that aspect of your life. And that's why sometimes people do want to share that with their family and be open about it, just because it's a more of a self-awareness growing up into my own truth kind of being. So it's not so much about keeping a secret or keeping it apart from anything. It's just that you want to be able to be fully yourself everywhere you go.
I think that's a well-made point.
And so much better than my advice.
And well taken, too. I think, Margaret, I stand corrected. Kendall, is that true for you? You think like there's a part of it that is, it's not just about not keeping a secret, but it's about being truly who you are and sharing that with your mutual families?
Yeah, and that's kind of why I sent you guys the email with the question in the first place, is because up until this point, up until recently, it's been just a sexual thing. So obviously we were like, we don't need to tell our families because like you said, they'll be like, why the fuck are you telling us this? We don't care. So, but now that we're like kind of evolving into being more poly and feeling like we identify with that, and especially with my fiance, for him especially, it's a really big part of his personality, and he's kind of just coming into that. And it kind of, Margaret, like what you said, we just don't want to feel, it kind of just adds to the like taboo that's already on polyamory. So it turns it into kind of like a feeling like a shameful secret, even though we're happy and we know it doesn't need to be one.
I just don't I just don't think it's necessary to confuse the elderly.
That's true.
Well, here's some good news, Kendall. The Italian Catholic community in not only in America, but in the old country as well, they're gigantic Endless Honeymoon podcast listeners, and they watch on the YouTube channel as well. So their odds of his parents finding out after this releases are extremely high, and we've kind of done the work for you.
That's what I was hoping. Hoping you would just announce it and I would have to do zero things.
So it is kind of more what Margaret's talking about. It's like, it's a, especially for your partner, it sounds like it's a coming out, not just of being poly, but of being queer and just of truly.
Yeah.
Being
fuck the elderly. Tell them who you are. Well, let them deal with it.
Honestly, if you guys are poly enough, if you're open enough, you will fuck the elderly. So I think Margaret's on right on here. I think like if it's an identity, like here's who I truly am, then that's a different thing than here's what my sex life is. It's I want you, my family, to know who I am. Does that feel right on, Margaret?
Yeah, different times in my life, like I felt the need to like come out to family members about being into leather, being heavily like involved with the BDSM community, having a male partner, having a female partner, having, and you know, my parents just accept that they're like, okay, we're so tired. I don't care. We're so tired. You know, like if you keep coming out, people get really sick of it. So it's really, I think it's fine to do, but it's more like to make the gesture more about, look, I'm just doing this to affirm myself. I'm not here to get your approval, because that's something that you can't really control. And, you know, they'll come around. It's one of those things where we need to come out for ourselves sometimes. And that's actually great. And it's sort of like, you know, polyamorous relationships are one of these frontiers now that things are really changing, especially for a lot of couples who are, you know, basically like they feel very secure with their partners and they want to just be real about what monogamy is to them. And it's sort of a construct, you know, it doesn't exactly mean that, you know, having sex outside your relationship or relationships that are outside of your primary relationship isn't cheating. It's just extending your circle of admirers. So I don't know.
I keep telling Natasha this exact message, Margaret, and it is falling on deaf ears. But I actually...
Fuck the constructs.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Really? Hey, yeah. Look, I want to say that for me, this conversation was actually kind of cool, because my initial reaction, you heard my initial reaction, which is, who cares? Why tell anybody anything?
Me too.
And to reframe it into like, actually, this is a kind of coming out. You know, it's very easy for me to wrap my brain around that. If it's like a gay person, it's a queer person, I go, oh, I understand what that is, you know, but to reframe it to like, there are a million identities and it is important not to tell your family, here's what my sex life is, but actually here's who my whole self is. For me, that was a restructuring and a reframing for me. So Kendall, Margaret, thank you.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks, Kendall.
Yeah. Good luck. Hey, wait. The other thing I was going to say, Kendall, is we would love to know when you do come out how it goes. If you want to get back in touch with us, and I think they'll probably stop even commenting on the floral pants after that. They'll be like, okay, there's more going on there than flower pants.
Oh yeah, more issues to worry about.
All right, Kendall. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Margaret. You're so good at this.
Yeah. I honestly, that was interesting for me, because I do think, you know how you discover, I don't want to say bigotries, but like areas that your mind hasn't evolved yet as you get older? You go, and even thinking about that, like I automatically associate poly with just like, oh, well, that's it's a lifestyle choice that isn't connected to core identity. That's where my brain went.
Yeah.
And so hearing you kind of reframe it, I think that was a mind opener for me.
Yeah, same for me.
Good. I'm glad. No, I think it is definitely an identity. I think it's something that it's quite a big part of people who engage in it. It takes over your life because a lot of time is spent kind of negotiating that. And, you know, being in a relationship that's open is challenging because you're always sort of examining your emotional life and their emotional life. And it's tough. So it becomes a big part of who you are.
You know, the more I just sort of observe the world, the more I realize like almost everything comes down to identity. I did this segment on my Comedy Central show with the Pink Pistols. Do you know who they are? They're a LGBTQ gun owner collective. Mm-hmm. And I start, they kind of reframed my idea. Like I don't love guns. I'm not a Second Amendment guy, but I realized in this interview with them, cause they were comparing identity as queer people with identity as gun owners. Like, oh, part of the reason that this is such a incredibly intense topic in this country is that gun owners, they're not just people that own guns. They are like, it is who they are. And so when they hear gun, we're going to change gun ownership laws, they hear we're going to take your identity away. And that is like, that's a gigantic, much bigger conversation than we're going to make new laws about what you can and can't buy. So
yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Margaret, do you want to do one more call with us?
Yes, of course.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you like pubic hair that is 1 to 2 inches longer than the penis itself?
I gotta say, Mosh, you're one of the hairiest comedians in the game.
Well, I appreciate that. But I'm less hairy now than I used to be, thanks to Manscaped. Manscaped is a company that makes specific technology for you to groom your nether regions. And by that, I mean your ball sack and your penis area. That's what neither regions mean. They come with a super attractive package, which will give you a super attractive package. There's a special razor that will not pinch your skin. There's deodorants. It's actually super high quality for how funny the product can sound. It's super high quality.
What do you mean?
Stuff.
Like their lawnmower or their crop reviver?
Okay.
You think those are bad names?
No, I'm not saying they're bad names. I'm just saying that they're fun and funny.
No, they're funny.
But there's nothing funny about getting your entire penis stuck inside of an electric razor. And that will never happen to you because they've got proprietary advanced skin-safe technology. It will reduce cuts on yo nuts. They've got deodorants. They've got all this really cool stuff. And it even comes with a free pair of super high-quality boxers to keep you smelling fresh all day. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code HONEYMOON at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com, promo code HONEYMOON for 20% off plus free shipping. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Have you noticed any changes going on in my hair?
You always have luscious locks, but for some reason now you have a top knot.
Well, they're longer and more luscious than ever due to the fact that I haven't had a haircut in almost a year. And that's why I need Function of Beauty, my absolute favorite shampoo and conditioner I have ever tried, more now than ever.
Function of Beauty is the world leader in customized beauty, offering 100% custom solutions just for you. Okay, here's how it works. First, you take a quick but thorough quiz and tell them a little bit about your hair goals. Moshe has so many hair goals. One of the reasons I married him. You can even choose the color and fragrance you prefer. Next, Function of Beauty's team determines the right blend of ingredients, then bottles and puts your name on it.
Then they deliver that personalized formula right to your door in that really nice bottle. And there's pumps, there's stickers, there's gifts they include. It's really nice stuff and it's super high quality. I'm not shining you on. I love this stuff. I love using it. It's thick. It feels good. It makes my hair feel good. And that's why there's over 50,000 real live 5-star reviews and counting. So Function of Beauty now also offers a skincare line.
It's the same quality and customization you expect, but now for your skincare routine. So what are you waiting for? Go to functionofbeauty.com/honeymoon to take your quiz and save 20% off your first hair care order.
Go to functionofbeauty.com/honeymoon. Let them know you heard about it from our show and get 20% off your first hair care order. That's functionofbeauty.com/honeymoon.
Honeymoon.
Let's call Grace in Chicago. Chicago is my we're watching the Frank Sinatra documentary.
Oh.
So I've been listening to Frank Sinatra music, who Hello. Hey, how's it going?
You're sideways. Is there a way for
you
to flip?
I know. Let me fix it.
Oh, there you go. Much better. Much better.
Wait, is this better?
Yes, you look perfect. Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Grace. It's Natasha, Moshe, and our friend Margaret Cho.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Grace, did you do your hair for the podcast appearance? Because it looks pressed.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a hairdresser in training, so it had to look good.
It does look good. I would employ you if we were not under a severe COVID-19 lockdown.
That's fair. Thank you.
Great.
So what's up? How can we help you? You've got, you know, a lot of amazing people here.
And four dogs.
So I've been seeing this guy recently. And it's my first real fling since a big breakup. So I'm really excited. But there's one problem. He doesn't go down. Like, he doesn't want to go down on me.
Break up with him. Bye. Okay. Thank you for calling in. We do appreciate it. What does he say?
So I've tried to have a conversation with him about it because I'm really open about sex and stuff. And he is so, like, he just thinks that, I don't know. He just thinks that I'm like more sexually advanced than him, or he thinks like I'm just more sexual. So when I bring it up to him, he's like, it's just kind of awkward. Like, I don't really want to talk about it. And like,
I hate this guy. You know what he's done though? Before you finish, he's reframed his insecurities and turned it on to you, that it's not his inadequacy, it's actually you are this like sexual demon that's up ahead of him, and he didn't have the decency to admit that he's a chump. He's like, no, it's you.
Well, let's hear the whole story.
Yeah, let's hear it. Sorry. I got incensed.
No, I appreciate it. It gets even weirder. And like, if this is like, I don't know if he's telling the truth, it's hard because so many men do like lie about it or whatever, but he was saying that he literally can't do it because if he sticks his tongue out, he gags. Like, he'll literally, like, he has a gag reflex.
Margaret?
It's like,
well, I mean, he doesn't have to stick it out. He can just kind of, you know, snuffle in there. Mm-hmm. Like, he can just kind of, you know, I think he's not really understanding what cunnilingus is. Like, maybe he doesn't, you know, you don't have to like stick your tongue out that far. It's not even about the tongue all the time. It's more just being open to please your partner the way that he should. You know, he should be trying.
I think you're off base, Margaret. To me, cunnilingus is where you remember Lick-A-Maid, the candy, the powder? When you get to the bottom and you don't have any stick left, that's how I do it. It's like you're trying to get the powder out and it's just sticking the tongue in and out in rapid succession. That's what
I think it's more of a surface area. I think it's more of a it's more like a tongue here, but as instead of a tongue inside. Because I think that the tongue outside is much more productive. When you're putting the tongue in, then you're losing all of this. So you gotta just, and everybody's different. So, you know, everybody who has a vagina is not going to necessarily have the same sensitivity. So, you know, we don't know. I don't like the tongue in.
I mean, I was joking. I don't like the tongue in it. Okay. I want to make it clear that I understand. I'm like, I'm on this guy a little bit. This guy's making sense to me right now. I too have a gag reflex. By the way, the way you described it, Grace, the way you described it is a lot of men lie about this. I think that's very funny. How many men have you known that lie about having gag reflex when they stick their tongue out to try to go down on women?
This is the first good lie that I've heard in a while.
Grace, how old is he?
So I'm 20 and he's 24.
Okay, so he's young, and I think you need to just sit on his face and say, if you want to be with me, you have to get into this.
I just agree. Margaret, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like figuring out what that fear and hesitation is about and kind of playing with that. You know, sometimes our the walls that we put up are sort of meant to be broken down. And I think that in sex, it's a good place to go. Like when people don't want to do something and it's almost like they do want to do it, you just have to give them some sort of playful permission to like mm-hmm. mess around with it. I mean, if you're really attracted to each other, something like that could feel natural, but it's hard when people set down those limits. Like I can't do that. Like it's very, it's strange not to be suppliable, you know?
Can she say that to him, Margaret? Can she say it's, you know, it's weird that you say that to me. Like I want this to be a relationship that where we find out things about each other, or I don't know, like it's hard to vocalize, I guess.
No, it's just kind of about how willing are you to kind of figure out what the fears are and actually get some sense of intimacy with him. That's outside of even like sex, but it could be sexy just to talk about sexuality and each other without having sex. So like take that sort of thing. We're not going to do it right now, but we just want to talk and then sort of see if that talk will get you guys turned on enough to want to try something like fun, you know? Because to be that limited sexual vocabulary, it's not good to be in a relationship with like that. Cause it's like, well, why is that like that? It's weird.
Speaking as a man, like I know he's lying. This gag reflex thing is not true. And mm-hmm. I just know
he just sounds incredibly immature.
Yeah, know for sure that this guy has some image in his mind of what it means to go down on a woman. It's a pretty like 1990s vibe, to be honest. It's like some like 90s gangster shit. Like, oh yeah, I don't do that. You know, it's like DJ Khaled said he doesn't go down on women. It's like I just know for sure that this dude has some idea that going down on a woman means something emasculate. And Margaret hit the nail on the head. It's some kind of fear, but it's probably layered under so many layer, you know, sedimentary layers of bravado that he's not even aware it's fear. He's just probably like, I don't do that. And the gagging thing, it's just bullshit. And to me, like,
and rude.
But what Margaret's saying is so generous and so kind, helping somebody along on their sexual journey. My instinct is, I don't feel like you're responsible to help a selfish lover get to the promised land. But you know, if you were more like Margaret's, I think a kinder spirit than me. My instinct is cut that gagging tongue loose and find you somebody that'll do what you like.
I actually did what Margaret said, and I really liked her advice. I like wanted to like work
just
through
now?
It with him.
That was so quick.
Yeah, it was so quick.
Is he right down there between your legs right now? Oh, amazing.
He's actually down there. Do you hear him gagging?
Yeah, yeah, it's really. That turns me on to hear somebody gag. So we've all got different things.
And it just because I also wanted to know, like, there's a reason why we do what we do, and like, I don't want to like knock on anybody for maybe there's a reason why he's saying that, you know, but it just seems like it's not going anywhere. And I'm kind of getting blamed for just having a higher sex drive than him. And it's just hard. Like, I feel like I've done like the considering and like being open with him. So what do I do now that I've had that conversation, you know? Is it like because I have a higher sex drive, should I find someone who matches that?
No.
No, drive doesn't have anything to do with it. It's that he's got a lot of layers of like cultural bias against this idea. And it could be like family. It could be sort of like old sort of religious stuff. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But it's not you and it's not about drive. That has nothing to do with it. And having a good sex drive is important anyway. It's for the generation of our lives and also just for fun, you know, it's like, why not?
Yeah.
So it's weird that he would try to frame it that way, but that also could be social like training over, you know, many generations. Who knows? That's mm-hmm. very toxic though.
Very toxic. It's just like, it's the clearest iteration of slut shaming. It's as fine a point of slut shaming as you could find, right? It's like, he's got mm-hmm. some blockage. And rather than say, I've got a blockage, I'm fucked up, I'm going to be real and honest with what's happening with me. Sexually, I have some sort of blockage. He's like, the problem actually is that you're too big of a slut. That's kind of what he's doing to you. And that is just exactly toxic. It's like poison. And it's like, get away. The other good news is you're 20. There's no possible way this is going to work out forever. So you can get to the finish line really quickly.
Just imagine yourself in 2 years, just kind of like in a relationship with him, looking out a shop window, just thinking about how no one's ever licked your pussy and like since before COVID.
That's so depressing.
That's where you'll be. So, you know, or unless try another one of these conversations and try to like go, if you do have a good enough connection, try to. Well, I'm just saying if she's, I mean, I know she's 20, but like maybe he's cool. I don't know.
He's not cool. I mean, he's obvious.
That serious.
Yeah, he's not cool. He is not cool. But it is that serious because it's like, it makes me so mad. Like the idea of like as if a high sex drive is something negative in a partner. It's so insane that he's like, well, problem.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, please.
I was just going to say, this is something I really struggle with a lot of my girlfriends my age. We struggle with guys like a little bit older than us not having like the same sex drive and it kind of getting blamed on us.
You're saying at about 24, the testosterone dips pretty hard
know.
And you don't like to fuck anymore? I don't think so.
I mean, like, is that the deal?
No.
Like, what about the women in the room? Like, did you struggle with that when you were younger?
I've had a lot of experiences with men and them. When I was younger in particular, where they were afraid of my desire. They were afraid of my appetite sexually. And I think that there was a lot of underlying reasons for that, whether it was trauma that they'd experienced before, a fear that they would sort of be able to run out of energy or not be able to satisfy me. So it was this way of like trying to contain my power because they were afraid of it. And I think that you're going into a very archetypal conversation of where men are afraid of women. I mean, men have always been afraid of women's power. And so that's another way where it comes out, where they try to control our sexuality. And you see that in the government, you see that with women, all of the sort of rape culture that exists. So it's real, and it's definitely intense around when I was like definitely in my 20s. So it's something that does pass because after like 30s, women and men sort of figure it out. But it's one of those things where we just mature faster, I think, at that age.
Yeah, and I think that sexuality is just so important in terms of connection with someone. So I think that that really needs to be there.
Right.
In a real way.
And there are great, great guys out there. I mean, he might be talking about what's happening because he's hiding some trauma. There may be things that he doesn't remember about his past. Right. There may be things that he's reacting to that are much deeper than maybe we realize. You know, if he's worthwhile to spend time with for you, then maybe it's worthwhile to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say it has happened to me twice where the guys kind of accused me of wanting to have sex too much, and both times they were gay. So that's
I don't know why that makes me feel better.
Yeah, you should bring that up to him. He seems like he'd be pretty receptive to that conversation, actually.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wait, what I was saying when I was so ardently saying it's not about sex drive was what I mean is... I think, again, Margaret hit the nail on the head. Ask the guy how often he masturbates. I'm almost positive it's at least daily, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not about how horny the guy is. It's just what Margaret said. It's about this whole language of you have a high sex drive is really like, I'm afraid of whatever it is that you are, and I feel inadequate.
Right.
It's not I don't get horny in the same way you do. It's I'm scared because you are a fully realized woman, and I've never tried that before. And there's no better metaphor for that than going down on a woman because you're You're supplicating yourself. You're not in a position of sexual dominance. You're in a position of I don't want to say submission, but it's a more a submissive position.
I don't think it is.
To right. go down on someone? I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant
and
to.
And so it's this thing of like, that isn't where I can be king. And I just, Margaret, you're being very nice to the guy. And maybe Margaret's right because she seems more involved than me. My instinct is it's just not your responsibility to deal with somebody like that. Get out.
Yeah.
I think you need to just play him this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think so? I've been trying to get him to listen to you guys for a long time and he just hasn't done it. So
not a fan. Well, you know what? Maybe Moshe's right. He sounds like a piece of shit. Okay. Well, good luck, Grace. And I think you'll be fine.
You have a parting shot, thanks, Margaret, before we say bye?
I think, you know, you're a beautiful young woman. You should be able to have the world at your feet and you can do whatever you want. I think it's really important. But sometimes we do find people that we connect with and we really like. Sounds like you like him. So it's hard because it's like, what is that about? What is this about? Mm-hmm. Like you really like him, try to figure out what's going on underneath that. Like can you like get comfortable enough to ask, he's like, what are you thinking about when you're coming? Like that's kind of the most important thing to know about anybody you're having sex with is like, what is the image when you come?
Margaret, I don't think I like this question.
I love that.
He's like, it's men. I'm thinking of men.
No, he's like, it's shoving my tongue repeatedly in and out of someone's vagina. I don't know. That is a really intense question, Margaret, to ask a lover. I really, that's very open and very intense.
Surely it varies. But this guy needs to be kind of shocked like that.
Yeah, I love it. I dare you to ask him. And get back to us and tell us what he says.
I will. Oh, I just wanted to say, Natasha, I'm actually, my hometown is Rockford, Illinois, too.
Oh, that's cool.
So God bless us.
God bless you, everyone. Good luck out there. Out.
I'm glad you got out, honey.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh?
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like shopping in person at the grocery store before we were in an insane COVID-19 spike?
Hell no.
Do you like it more now that it's literally risking your life to go shopping?
I mean, to be honest, I want everything delivered to my door.
Well, I got good news for you. Thrive Market is an online membership-based market on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. They deliver high-quality products straight to your door, stuff that you just can't find in your local grocery store.
And tons of healthy stuff. They have so many healthy snacks for your kids. They have brands that you can't find anywhere else. Thrive Market has the best selection that you can find, plus ethical meat, sustainable seafood, clean wine, and you can easily shop over 70 diets, whatever annoying thing you are, keto, paleo, gluten-free, vegan, non-GMO, fair trade certified, BPA-free, and more.
So basically, you sign up, you become a member, and you get guaranteed savings with their members-only prices. Thrive Market members save an average of $32 on every order. Our first order, we saved enough money to pay for the membership by itself. It's pretty incredible. And also, orders of $49 or more are shipped for free and delivered with carbon neutral shipping from their zero waste warehouses.
When you join, you give back through Thrive Gives, their one-for-one membership matching program. Every paid membership sponsors a free one for a low-income family.
So in addition to membership matching, Thrive Market has raised over $1 million to date with their COVID-19 relief fund. So we want you to try it out, and there's a free gift waiting for you. Go to thrivemarket.com/honeymoon. If you join today, you'll get a free gift of your choosing. Anything on the site up to $24 in value.
That's thrivemarket.com/honeymoon to start your risk-free membership and get a free gift today. thrivemarket.com/honeymoon.
Well, Margaret, I gotta say, you...
I feel like Margaret should just have this show instead
of
us.
Yeah, do you want to take over? How about, can Lucia take over?
You can take over.
No, that was great. All of that was very good. I just have no... You know, I think what it is, the reason I get so militant about that is because I identify, even as I was like a young man, in a progressive family raised with like egalitarian values, I still fell victim to that kind of like programming. And I just, it just turned... it turns my stomach when something is so transparently what you said, like trying to control someone in that way that I'm just like run for the fucking hills. But you know what?
Yeah.
People do evolve. People do change.
Yeah, I like that pep talk you gave her. You're like, you're beautiful. You're young. You can do whatever you want. And then I was thinking like, until you have a baby. Because like, you kind of can.
You can still do whatever you want.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
You can go away for 5 days and do another quarantine. You
That's
could take
true.
A bread baking class online.
That's
yes. Ciabatta, 10 a.m. on Saturday. It's going to be good.
Oh, so do you put the Zoom up in your kitchen so that you can like, oh, how cute. Oh, I love it.
You should do it.
Wait, but do people like talk a lot? Like, or is it really easy to understand? Like, is there like a lot of Zoom conversation going?
No, well, we have the recipes beforehand. So we're usually, by the time we're getting on Zoom, we're proofing. So it's like the dough's rising. So we're just talking about our dough and then showing off what's going on and that kind of stuff.
I love it.
Well, Margaret, if you really were our friend, you would offer to send us a loaf of bread. But barring that, I want to say...
Moshe hates focaccia, though. I will say that is one weird thing about him because it's like such a delicious bread.
What can you do? Yeah. I saw that chef's table or whatever where they make it, and it's more beautiful in the making than it is for me in the tasting. But I want to just thank you for coming on. It was really great to see you.
Thank you. Great to see you.
Yes, thank you, Margaret.
And also, speaking of, when Natasha was talking about willing yourself into having a great set, we did New Year's last year, and Margaret, you crushed so hard. You were so good. I mean, I knew you were good, but I also was like, in that moment, was like, she's so fucking good. So when this damn pandemic lifts, when you're done getting your tickets to Moshe and Natasha live, definitely go see Margaret because you're one of the best. You're one of the best.
Oh my
God, you guys are great.
We're going to be so rusty.
We're going to be so great when we go back. No, we'll be really, I think we're all going to be really ready to go. It's going to be really good.
I love that. All right. This has been awesome. Thank you again, Margaret.
Thanks,
Margaret.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Bye, Lucia. Bye.
Her dog is cuter than ours. It's even cuter than Cutie because it weighs like 2 pounds.
I mean,
can you imagine how tiny the shits are if they're that small?
That's really something to think about, honey. It's the first positive thing you've said tonight. That was awesome, hon. And I am dedicated. Here's what I'll tell you. I am dedicated to making your life easier in any way that I can.
Thank you.
Let's go find an adventure. And you know what?
You're like, let's go camping. The thing I love to do. Yeah.
Wait, I was about to say something you were going to like, though. But that was a good one. That was a good zing. You zigged when I zagged. If you need, I'm going to go on the record, on the podcast, and say this. If you need me to go down on you at any point, I'll do it. No, if you need to take a break or you need some space and you need to go off and write and take another vacation on your own, you need only ask. I found it very fun and easy to be here with our child. I didn't think it was that difficult, and I would be happy. Honestly, I would be happy to see the backside of you. I hate to see you go, but I love to see you walk away.
Thank you. You're very supportive.
Well, do you know why?
Why?
Because I love you.
I love you too.